the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, this was an episode.
Yeah, it existed.
It was all right. It's called Unnatural Selection.
Not the worst that I've seen, not the best that I've seen.
Yeah, well, you know, it had a lot of positive qualities.
Yeah, had some issues too, though, I think. We'll get into it.
Matt Kubinski is joining us today. Hey, Matt, welcome.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
No problem.
Of the legendary Cinema Jaw podcast.
Legendary.
Yeah.
So you know your movies. Like, you know your stuff.
I do.
You know your Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. How big of a Star Trek fan are you?
I don't know. I'd say a 6 out of a 10. I'm a pretty big Star Trek
fan.
Nice. Yeah.
That's more than me.
We're getting there.
When Next Gen came out on Netflix, I did rewatch the entire thing. I think I didn't get through it 100%, but, you know.
Yeah.
Life intervened.
Yeah. How far did you get?
Pretty far. I mean, I got real deep into it. How many seasons were there? 8?
7.
7. So I think I got to like season 5 or 6 at least.
Yeah. So it's great by that point.
Yeah. Oh, I was watching it every day.
Yeah. 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 It's awesome.
I love it. And back in the day when I was a kid, I watched it all the time. Love Next Gen.
Yeah. Me too. And then Deep Space Nine is kind of my new jam. I just finished that this week. Watched every single episode of Deep Space Nine. Really enjoyed it.
That's next on the docket. 7 years from now when we finish this podcast.
If we make it there, we're doing Deep Space Nine. And that brings me to our fun fact for this week. This episode marks the first time that Miles O'Brien is referred to as the Transporter Chief.
Hell yeah, dude. Getting promoted.
Yeah. And the first time he is referred to by his last name. It's also the first episode where Kalmini was credited as a guest star and not in the closing credits. O'Brien making waves.
Yeah.
And what did they refer to him as before?
They just didn't talk about him much.
Oh, he didn't have a name?
No. Or I think they said Miles once or twice, but he was just operating the transporter. He was such a minor character. Like, this is the first time he's really had more than half a
line.
That's
weird, because, like, he was in the pilot.
Yeah, just standing there.
Yeah.
But he was at the table when they were making decisions in the situation.
Yeah.
I know, which is weird.
It was a little
odd. He shouldn't be in that room. He's an enlisted man,
but
yeah,
like
he's not an officer.
He's the head of the transporter. Like, he's the only one that can kind of fix the problem. It's not like they wouldn't seek out his advice.
Wouldn't Geordi know all that stuff?
Yeah, you think he would.
Yeah, Geordi so far has proven to know almost everything about that ship.
I guess it's because O'Brien's a specialist.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's got a very specific area of knowledge.
Yeah, I buy it.
Yeah.
Hey, I love Chief O'Brien. So.
I like him so far.
Or Miles O'Brien. He's not Chief O'Brien yet. Ugh.
Well, they said he was
Spoiler alert, transporter
chief.
Oh, I guess it's true.
So he's
Chief O'Brien.
Yeah. Chief O'Brien. He earned it, man.
Yeah, he did. Transporter Chief O'Brien.
Way to go, buddy.
Yeah.
So this is what was going on this day in history for Patrick's Log. This is January 30th, 1989 is when this episode aired.
Mm.
One of the headlines I pulled from the LA Times from that day, Soviets in final stages of Afghan pullout. Truck convoy sets out amid rebel attacks on strategic highway. There has been war in Afghanistan in some form or the other for like the past 30 years.
Yes.
Well, so, probably longer than that.
Yeah, longer than that. And so almost every headline that I've found is just like the Soviets are trying to get out of there. And then there's another headline that's like, oh, the Americans are helping out the rebels. So I'm glad that worked out great.
Yeah, that worked out well.
That's the end of that story.
Yeah.
And then just on a lighter note, I found, Pat, you wanted to talk about this because it involves someone else named Pat.
Yeah.
Pat Summitt. Number 2 Tennessee women beat number 5 Georgia. And
women's basketball.
You guys
are digging deep.
Yeah. Pat Summitt, though,
is a legend.
Yeah, one of the greatest female coaches of all time.
And her name is Pat.
Yeah.
So she gets a mention.
If she wasn't dead, I'd invite her on this podcast. She should host it.
Yeah. But
Sorry,
Tennessee did go on to win the national championship later that year. And even though I hate Tennessee, they beat Auburn doing it.
Yeah.
Fuck Auburn. Roll Tide.
Are we still talking about women's basketball?
We are.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But mainly Auburn losing.
And Pat Summitt.
Having a name that shares with us, kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what was going on. January 30th, 1989.
Awesome. Well, should we get into the episode?
Yeah, we probably should.
All right.
We could talk about Pat Summitt for, oh, man. For
days on end.
That could be a whole other podcast.
Let's do the Pat Summitt cast.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was called Unnatural Selection. They didn't pull this title out from any weird poem that no one's ever read.
I think they're over that now.
I think they kind of got past that by this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out, they're trying to get to the Star Station India to rendezvous with some courier from Starfleet. I didn't really pay attention to what the original mission was because they never get to it.
I don't even think they mentioned that, did they?
Yeah, they were going to some space station.
Yeah.
And that's the space station they go to at the end of the episode as well. It's a very common thing on the Enterprise. You have a place you're going, and then...
And they never get to it.
And a minute in, you get derailed.
Well, it's always like the most boring mission in the world. Yeah. But the one thing that I do remember is like Picard was like, well, this will give me a chance to review the progress of Dr. Pulaski.
Yeah.
He's in his ready room. He's like reading Shakespeare, the Bible or something. And he calls in Counselor Troy, and we can kind of see inklings of tension between the relationship between him and Pulaski, because he's like asking Troy, just like, what do you think she's doing? Because I'm kind of concerned about her objectivity.
Yeah. Well, she's... What do you think of Pulaski, Matt?
I don't know, man. She sucks. Right? I'm sorry. Like... Dr. Crusher was way better. And the doctor role in Star Trek is such an important role.
Yeah.
You know, we had Bones in the original Star Trek, and then Crusher in Next Gen, who I thought, maybe not in season one, but as the character progressed, such an important character.
Totally.
And Pulaski's just a throwaway. She sucks.
Yeah, agreed.
So, Pat, you're telling me that she wasn't popular with the fans by this point.
No,
right?
She wasn't very popular with the fans, as well as with the cast and crew.
The person.
Yikes. She just didn't fit.
Well,
and the big thing was Patrick Stewart was trying to get Gates McFadden back on the show.
He's
the one who, before season three, convinces her to come back.
Well, I mean, that relationship was so good between Picard and Crusher. I mean, they had that sexual tension it was a fun relationship to watch.
Yeah, and it had a rich backstory, which was cool. So, like, Picard never knew Pulaski before she got on. But Picard and Crusher's deceased husband served together.
Yeah, and they knew each other for years.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So there's like this cool backstory going on there where there's nothing with Pulaski. She's just kind of like a grumpy lady. She's grumpy.
Well, like with this, what I didn't like about her before is I didn't understand why they introduced this antagonism between her and Data,
mm-hmm.
and how she was like kind of bigoted towards Data and just a jerk for no reason to him. But I think they fixed that in this episode. And it's starting, you know, I went into this like, oh, man, I hate Pulaski. But I think what they were trying to do is establish her own character as, like, she is a colleague to Captain Picard. And these are two colleagues that don't like each other but learn to respect each other by the end. And I thought that was cool. It just wasn't really played out as well as it could
have. No, and she's still a jerk to Data.
Super mean to him for no reason. I don't understand why she keeps doing that.
This is a Pulaski episode.
It is.
I mean, make no mistake. They were trying to develop this character.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, there's even that scene where she's talking to Counselor Troy about her relationship with Picard.
Yeah.
And Troy says, you guys are too similar. Basically, to sum it up, she says, you guys have the same personality. Or what does she say? Like, you have...
Yeah, you both, like...
Have a
human side to you or something like
that.
A
very pronounced personality.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was.
Something
like
that.
Yeah. They're both very like ambitious and driven.
Yeah. Well, she's saying you're both assholes.
Right. Yeah. You're both type A assholes.
Yeah.
So you know what though? That did not satisfy me. It doesn't succeed in developing this character at all.
Yeah.
So while he's having that conversation with Troy, they get interrupted by a distress signal. There's a supply ship, the USS Lantry, and they kind of have like this garbled message that gets through them, and all they can really hear is that they're dying. And then it falls silent. They finally get up to the supply ship, and they try to hail it. There's no answer. There's no life signs, but the ship is fine. There's no damage. Totally functional. And then Worf is like, well, we got to board it. We got to go on there, you know, because he just loves to jump into things. And everyone is like, shut up, Worf. That's a stupid idea.
That's a common theme.
Yeah. Well, I think in the first episode, Worf tried to shoot the view screen.
Yeah.
Which
is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. Riker instead suggests that they establish a remote link with the computer in the Lantry. And Picard is like able to do that somehow.
It's a VPN tunnel.
Okay. He went through a tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's the onion routing.
Yeah. he gets into the computer. Mm-hmm. And the captain of the Lantry, by the way, is this guy named Talaka. He uses whatever code to hack into the network somehow. He turns on the bridge monitor, and then, like, everyone is dead. But they're also super old. Like,
bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, Captain Talaka looks like a dang Frankenstein, basically.
Totally
yeah.
looked like Frankenstein.
Yeah, he did. Like, he looked like the monsters.
Well, he had some disease in addition to aging,
yeah, he had,
right?
Like yeah. scales all over his yeah, face he had, or something.
Well, maybe it's just...
Severe eczema.
Right, yeah. Maybe he just had that before
yeah.
and then got super old.
Yeah, hey, it could happen.
So Captain, or Dr. Pulaski is scanning all of their vitals, and she's like, they just died of old age. This is natural causes. But Riker points out that the guy that he knew on the ship was as old as he was.
Yeah. I am so bored at this point in the episode.
This takes 15 minutes to get to.
Oh my, it's like, okay, they're old, let's go.
Where are the Romulans?
Right. Yeah, come yeah, on, let's do something.
So they go to the conference room, and they're trying to talk through what happened, and they get to Talaka's, the captain of the Lantry. They find his last entry, and according to him, there are only 6 people left by the time that he's making this entry, and there were 26 people on the ship. They're trying to set course to the nearest Federation outpost and to figure out what's happening, but they're all growing old and dying, like one by one.
Can we point out that they have a device on the table in the conference room that looks just like a smartphone?
Yeah, they do.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
You didn't?
No.
So they're basically all in front of each one of them is a little device. It looks sort of like
they got like a tablet?
It's not a tablet. It's a phone-sized device, more like a remote control looking thing, but it's like a
weird
screen that they tap to get their notes and mm-hmm. such.
Huh.
It's a smartphone.
That's yeah. cool. I didn't notice that.
Does everything but make phone calls. They need the comms
badge
for that.
To yeah. do that. Well, it's much smaller, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a headphone jack, though.
Well,
yeah.
again, they shot called the
it.
Future.
Yeah.
iPhone 7.
So,
the comms badge is the iPhone 12.
So the Dr. Pulaski is like searching through the medical records.
Again, this takes so long.
Yeah,
we already know they're old and dying. Why do
right.
we repeat it like 6 times?
Yeah. I was thinking that it was going to get to be like some relativity thing, like something
yeah.
happened in a
warp. I thought so too. Yeah.
yeah.
Like it was going to be a time bubble.
Exactly.
That would have been cool.
That would have been an awesome episode. Where
yeah.
like they go through this whole medical thing and it turns out, nope, that was just a red herring. There's like some weird shit with relativity going on.
That'd be cool.
Nope.
That would have been cool.
It's not what happened.
But, yeah.
She finds that they got the Thalusian flu, which is some, as she said, an exotic disease, but
I got
treatable.
That once in Vegas.
Oh, man, yeah. Don't want to get Thalusian
flu. Penicillin.
For right, yeah.
Space penicillin.
And it's like some exotic disease, but is treatable. And they were treated for it at a place called the Darwin Genetic Research Station. And they got to quarantine the ship. So that the Lantry is quarantined. No one can go near it. Something bad happened on there. Good thing they didn't board the ship, Worf.
You idiot.
Way to go, you dumbass.
Someone has to be the voice of bad reason.
Yeah, I know.
Why is it always Worf, though?
He went to Academy. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He keeps making these terrible suggestions.
Well, yeah. And that's what I was talking about Deep Space Nine earlier. It's so funny because I just finished that. And you watch Worf in this episode and then Worf in Deep Space Nine. It is not at all the same character.
Night and day. Well, he's learned a lot by then, right?
Yeah, but he should know something by now.
Have you ever seen, I'm sure you have, on YouTube, that super cut of all the bad decisions Worf
yes.
makes?
No, I got to see that.
Oh,
yeah.
Is everybody saying no to Worf? Like, no, no. Like, he's like, let's do this. You're an idiot, Worf.
Well, I was saying, like, while we were watching this, he kind of feels like if you're playing D&D and everyone's just like humming and hawing over some like meaningless decision, he's just a guy that's just like, I'm gonna go attack the dragon.
Yeah.
I'm gonna attack the gelatinous cube. Like, he's that guy. And like, you need that to happen to move the plot forward.
You do.
Because by this point, it's like 30 minutes of
this. I know, and nothing has happened. All they've done is decide
we
to quarantine
about a disease
ship.
That maybe they had that ends up being like kind of consequential to the plot, but isn't.
Really, it's an excuse for some bad makeup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we got to get to that. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're heading towards the Darwin Genetic Research Station where they got treated for this flu, and they hail them. And this Dr. Sarah Kingsley answers, and she, like, knows of Dr. Plasky. She like, immediately recognizes her. She's, like, some kind of celebrity in the doctor world in Star
Trek. I've read your book.
Right, I've read your book, you magnificent bastard.
That was actually kind of strange because Pulaski's almost embarrassed about her book. She's like,
right.
That was a long time ago.
She doesn't want to talk about it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting, but I'm sure that never gets developed in...
No, nope. No, it doesn't seem like it does.
I don't think so. We don't talk about her book much.
They try to give her a backstory, and they just like don't do anything with it. So,
well, she's only got one season that she
Yeah, they didn't survives. Know that by this point, though. I guess they
wouldn't have.
I honestly think this was... I can't really point to any other, at least in my memory, Pulaski episodes.
No.
This was so centric on that character.
Yeah. So. I think it's probably the most Pulaski-centered episode I can remember as well.
That's
I don't think so.
They try.
That's a good thing. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like she's so...
The Doctor is central to Star Trek.
Yes.
But
she's so contentious with everybody. And it's one of my favorite parts of this episode is when Picard tells her, like, you've got to let me finish a sentence.
Yeah.
That's how I feel with every scene with her. Like, shut up and let the other characters speak.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to explain as, like, look, no, she's just kind of this other foil to Picard. She has the same personality. But
I don't buy that at all.
I don't buy it at all because Picard is, like, he still respects people and, like, isn't mean to an android for no goddamn reason.
Well, Picard is a good listener.
Yeah.
That's one of his most important traits.
He listens and then he analyzes and then he makes a decision and he listens to his crew. Even in this episode, she's so headstrong and she's fucking wrong.
She's
more
kills
wrong
herself.
Than Worf is.
Yeah.
And she just won't shut up telling everybody her wrong opinions. It's like, how did you get this far?
Maybe that's why she's ashamed of her book.
Yeah, because it's wrong. It's been all proven inaccurate.
Dr. Kingsley said it's still the standard.
Oh, well.
So yeah, and look what Dr. Kingsley has done.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Doomed an entire colony. Yeah,
something man, that is highly illegal. We'll get into
that. We'll get into
that. Super illegal, her activity, and they never even talk about
it. It's nuts, yeah. So she's saying they're all suffering from the same thing. They're all aging, too. So they got whatever was on the Lantry. And she is convinced that the Lantry were the people that brought the disease onto the Darwin. So she wants the Enterprise to help evacuate genetically engineered children to protect the kids.
Yeah, sounds safe.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea.
Right, so I guess this is a good time to bring this up. They have genetically engineered children on this Darwin Genetic Research Station.
Aptly named.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's illegal in Star Trek,
It is illegal
right?
in Star Trek. Genetically engineering humans and eugenics and all of that stuff has been outlawed.
Yeah, because like I don't know a ton about Star Trek, but I saw Wrath of Khan a long time ago, and it's like that's when that happened, right?
Well, they stopped it after Khan because they developed these superhumans who were going to take over the world. And they were like, well, we should stop this whole scientific process.
They never bring this up in this episode.
No! Someone should have been like, that's illegal!
Yeah, and the kids are like telepathic and psychic, and they have all kinds of powers.
Right,
they just never treat that at all.
No, and again, illegal behavior.
Within the context
Picard
of this universe.
Yeah, Picard should have seen that and been like, we're shutting you down. And that be like one of the first things he does, because he follows the Federation rulebook strictly. And you're like sitting there watching these genetically made psychic kids.
So it's a continuity error.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
So yeah, they're gonna
I'm yelling a lot in this episode. This episode really worked me up, guys.
I respect it. You're pissed.
Oh, I love Star Trek, and it's like, what are you doing? Pulaski? Genetically altered kids? Shut up!
So yeah, they got some boys from Brazil situation going on there, and they want to protect the kids. That's their first priority. So Pulaski's like, well, you know, you got to have a full quarantine on the station. And that also includes the children.
Nice reference, by the way.
Yeah.
Patrick is very smart. He's proven that on the show.
I'm a screaming dummy.
I've listened to the show, man.
Yeah. So anyway, they got all these genetically engineered kids. But Pulaski's saying they got to be quarantined too. Kingsley is like pleading with her. And she's saying, look, the kids aren't sick. We made them so they can't be sick. They're genetically engineered. They have no symptoms. But
Right. She's convinced at this point that the supply ship.
Yeah, they were the ones that did it. It was all their fault. Them. Yeah. Yep. So they talk about it in the conference room again, and Pulaski is like, "Well, look, we got it. We can examine these kids in a force field."
Oh God! That's just give me a B plot already.
I know. They talk about this like over and
forever.
And it gets to the point where they're like, "Okay, we can set up a force field. We have that technology. We can beam them in, and they're in like this stasis thing called Styrolite." And so they're in suspended animation. They send this one kid over.
It's basically plastic wrap.
He's in a plastic sheeting.
Right. And let's talk about his age for a second, because there's a lot of confusion.
This kid is 30.
But he was supposed to be 12.
Yes.
But right. No, he was a full-grown man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe not 30.
Definitely not 12, though.
No, definitely not 12.
Yeah. Maybe 20s. He didn't have enough hair to be 30.
Yeah, and I think that
body hair.
that was supposed to be like another clue that there's some sort of thing with the kids where the aging has gone wrong.
Is that what it is?
That's what I thought at first, but it turns out they cannot get the disease. They're carriers.
Right, so I thought they were sick.
So I think what it is, they were genetically engineered to be like super strong, so he just like looks bigger.
So he was supposed to be 12.
Yeah,
but he's ridiculous.
He's like 6 feet tall.
What?
Yeah,
he's got like a 20-year-old model.
Yeah, he's got bigger pecs than me and like biceps. He's a man.
That's
a man.
Yeah. Puberty had happened to that person.
Yeah, so it's
a long time ago.
Yeah. They send this kid, and then like someone just offhand mentions like, oh yeah, by the way, they're telepathic. Okay.
I can feel their presence.
Right. Yeah, that Troy is able to figure this out. So they set up this force field, and you know they're kind of poking around to make sure that he's not sick. And you know they find out it's like he's actually in better health than all of us.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Can't they do those scans remotely?
Yes.
So
why did they do that?
Why did they need to bring them on board the Enterprise in order to...
That's a good question. I don't believe that's answered in here.
I am... Because, stay quiet, because I'm going to start yelling again
because
about
if they
this
did
fucking
that,
medical stuff.
If they did that, this episode wouldn't happen.
No, not true, because the kid doesn't, whatever the kid is carrying, does not affect the Enterprise, right? It never...
Well, because he's in the Styrolite.
Right, but then I don't want to get to the next part. You know what?
No, it's fine, yeah.
But
so
bringing him on the Enterprise was inconsequential, is what I'm saying. It was stupid.
Right.
Yeah, it was pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they scan... stuff all the time from the ship. Yeah. And she wasn't able to do any extra scans on him.
Because he's in the Styrolite.
Yeah.
And so this is the argument that she has with Picard. She's like, look, we find out, we know he's not sick. So let's just take him out of this thing.
She just wanted to touch him.
She wanted.
That's pretty clear from the get-go.
I can.
So annoying.
I know. And they had this argument back and forth. Picard's like, look, I'm not going to release this guy from this stasis because we don't know what he has. There's too much of a risk. They like go back and forth and argue. It takes forever. And
again, this is the old argument that I always have. But the medical equipment makes no sense episode to episode.
Yep.
There is no continuity between how a doctor does their job in Star Trek The Next Generation. At least so far, they have different tools and different devices and different rules every single time someone goes to sick bay. Even in this episode, sick bay looked different for some reason.
Normally,
like, why did you rearrange sick bay?
Normally, I'd say that you're being a little pedantic, but in this particular episode, it matters a lot.
Yeah, it's
because
the crux
of the
episode.
Because it changes
the
plot. And this is the part where Picard is like, I wish you'd let me finish sentences once in a while when, you know, he's...
Which is the line of the episode.
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome one.
Because what she is asking to do, if she had gotten her way in this scene, everyone would be dead on the Enterprise. Because it turns out this kid is a carrier. You know, he's not sick, but he has the illness.
Yeah. Hello?
Right. She's a doctor. Wouldn't she know this?
And of course, we already know it as the audience, right?
Yeah.
Like, we figured that out 25 minutes ago.
Right. But Picard is like, all right, look, if you bring me a situation where you can examine this kid not on the Enterprise, then I'll take it. And so what she figures out to do is, I'll put him on a shuttle.
She talks to Geordi LaForge.
Talks to Geordi. Geordi's like, yeah, just do that. And she takes Data, and Data is an android, so obviously he's not going to get the disease.
Again, no concern for Data's safety.
Oh, not at
whatsoever.
All. He even brings up, he's like, I might be able to get it.
Yeah, who
knows?
It's unknown.
Yeah. And she's like, no, you're probably fine.
And of course, she's been wrong this whole time.
Yes.
I was kind of hoping Data would get sick. Because, I was like, oh, this would be great. But
That's not what happens. They go on the shuttle. They kind of get away from the Enterprise a little bit, take him out of the styrofoam thing, and she is like able to talk to him. Because he's telepathic. Data can't pick it up, though.
It's nonverbal communication. Yeah.
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 So Data can't pick it up, but she's able to talk to him. And then she immediately gets like arthritis pain. she caught it.
In her elbow, tennis elbow.
You like, deserve this, Pulaski. You've earned this.
Yeah. He's a carrier. Like, that's what happened. He doesn't have the illness, but he can carry the illness. And
I don't think that's how arthritis works. I don't think it's like a sharp, acute pain all of the sudden.
I have arthritis in my knee because I had knee surgery, and it's just like a constant pain.
Yeah, it's like a dull ache.
Yeah.
So she like grabs her arm like, oh, like all of a sudden something's stabbing her.
Ah, I got arthritis!
Yeah. No, it's very humorous.
Yeah, so...
horrible.
Yeah, she takes like a ton of morphine or something. I assume that's just morphine. She like injects herself with.
Yeah, she just loads up on drugs.
Yeah,
she's like, the pain is tolerable, Data. Thank you.
Yeah, and
well, yeah, this whole scene too. She's saying horribly racist things to Data.
Yeah, in this context of this, it's space racist. Like, yeah, she's still
wouldn't that be androidist?
I guess. Androidist. Yeah,
machinist.
So she is like, well, there's nothing we can do for anybody. So we got to just beam this kid back to Darwin. So they, I guess, figure out. He's a carrier. He's not sick. Probably should know that as a doctor.
Couldn't they have done that with like a hamster or a lab rat?
I know, you know, yeah. Like,
let's see if the rat gets infected.
Seeing. Yeah. Anyway.
So, but she's not going to make herself any kind of exception to this quarantine rule. So she knows she's got the disease, whatever they have on the Darwin. So she can go back to the Darwin and figure it out there. So everyone else on the Enterprise are meeting in the conference room and they're like, well, I don't know what we can do for Pulaski. We told her, you know, that kids are carriers. But then O'Brien brings up this thing that I didn't really understand what his solution was.
Brilliant.
Okay.
It was brilliant.
So he says
the shining light of the episode.
O'Brien is like, we can maybe solve this problem if we have a transporter trace. So what does this mean exactly?
So the way the transporter works is it stores your pattern, right? That's the word they use in the episode.
Okay.
Which is your...
your information?
Your information, yes. Okay. Your molecules and the way they're arranged. So when they take you apart and they beam you to the other location, they know how to put you back together. If they have a stored, like a saved copy of her pattern before she was infected, they're saying they can beam her over and reconstitute her based on that stored copy.
Oh, which they don't, by the way, because she has transporter phobia.
Yeah.
That's not why they don't. Oh. They didn't have the saved copy. They looked for it and they didn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because Pulaski was afraid of the transporter.
Yeah, she right. They never tried to write that in, which is also completely inconsequential and stupid.
I don't really understand how the transporter works.
But that's the crazy thing is, if they would have done that, this is the same argument I made last week, it's no longer Pulaski. Not the Pulaski we know.
So is this a clone?
It would be a clone with the same memories that Pulaski has. Yeah. Just like Picard.
We could go deep on this.
Yeah, but
one.
Picard...
I know that this is a big philosophical thing in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Is that if are you after you get transported?
Well, and they do that to Picard in one episode in season one. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where they like beam out one version of him and take in another one. So for
the
rest of the series, it's this clone of Picard that we're dealing with. Now, it's kind of him because it has the exact same memories. But is like the awareness the same as the awareness of the thing they would have gotten rid of? Do you see what I'm saying? It's so crazy.
That's one of the best things about Star Trek.
Yeah.
It really is.
They're just killing people all the time, but bringing back other organisms with the same memory so they don't realize it.
Right. It's very philosophical.
Yeah.
I mean, we could really go down the rabbit hole in the transporter system. But what O'Brien essentially does in this scene is cures cancer.
I know, with like a whimsical idea.
Or cures any disease.
Yeah.
All disease.
Creates a filter. So as long as you've been in the system beforehand.
Right. Yeah. We have a copy of you from before you got sick. All we need to do is beam you somewhere and load that copy.
Mm-hmm. It's just like going back to an old save game.
Exactly.
It's pretty much what his solution is. And
that's
it rules. Yeah.
Chief O'Brien, you're the best.
So I don't know why no one had thought about this by this point, I guess.
Seriously.
Yeah, so...
yeah, transporter technology is hundreds of years old at this point.
And if you live in a society where you just... I guess in Star Trek, they just decided, this is you. This is you, right? In the transporter. We're not going to think about this too hard. Because that would be horrifying.
Yeah, because
so,
it would keep murdering everyone and then rebuilding them.
It's you. We're just going to decide it's you when we transport you. You're the same person. Please don't argue about this.
But that person would have the memories of the original person.
I wonder how the Pope feels about transport.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that. Like, what would the Pope say about this?
Pope, If you're ever in Chicago, come on the podcast.
He's listening, you know that.
Of course he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not in Italian, but I'm sure he's got someone translating it for him or Spanish. But
yeah, he speaks Spanish, right?
Yeah.
He just puts it through Google Translate every week.
Just my nasally shouting.
We know how we'd feel about the Darwin situation with her genetically engineering these kids, though.
Totally illegal.
Yeah, I would probably agree with this because... Yeah, let's get into
that.
Meanwhile, back on the Darwin, Kingsley is like trying to argue with Pulaski and Data. It's like, there's no way the kids could have transmitted the disease. I mean, look at them. They're perfect. And they're in this like other room. And she's like, they're telekinetic and they're playing chess with their mind and stuff. And
they're our masterpiece.
Yeah. And they have this one line where Pulaski's like, you're not supposed to genetically engineer people. And she was like, no, we created them. Which is, I guess, some loophole?
No!
I don't understand.
It's not a loophole!
But is that what she was getting at?
Like, I guess so. That they were never born. They're just...
Does that make it okay?
I don't think so.
It makes it worse.
Like a loophole.
It's very illegal what they're doing.
But, like, I could tell within three lines of dialogue, like, where they were going with this. Dr. Kingsley is like, no, like, their immune system is perfect. There's no way that they could have gotten the Thalosian flu or whatever. And I could immediately tell, it's like, oh, yeah, their perfect immune system, you know, genetically modified.
Yeah,
overreacted and genetically modified the flu and turned into something worse.
Yep.
This is what they get into. It takes about 5 minutes, but they, like, tell Dr. Kingsley, yeah, that's what happened. These kids are, like, incubators for crazy new diseases that we've never seen before. Because their immune system, their antibodies, like, mutate old diseases.
Well, their antibodies actually leave their body
and
go out
they
and
do it in the air.
In the air, right. So, yeah. The
they're
doctor,
like a chemical weapon, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why you don't do genetic engineering.
Yeah, don't make superhumans, guys.
Stop it! It's never worked
if
out!
Anyone who's listening to this show and is trying to make some genetic telekinetic super kid, cut it out.
Yeah, just stop it. Will you? Come on.
Yeah.
Go talk to the Pope. He'll set you straight.
So,
just beam there.
Yeah, beam over there. You know, ask him if you're the
same
person.
Which is effectively kind of cloning, is it not?
It is. Yeah. So
I think so. Yeah.
Right. It trips out your brain.
Yeah. So the Pope would probably hate it. The Pope would probably hate it.
Transportation.
Yeah.
You guys should do a whole episode just on transporters.
We should.
We probably
should. Deep dives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll
be
special.
We used to talk about the Prime Directive. We have a bunch of stuff we could do deep dives on.
Yeah. I don't know if this episode deserves a deep dive.
The Prime Directive is the rule made to be broken, right?
Like, yeah.
Well, it's a flexible rule. It's not a hard and fast rule. That's what's fun about the Prime Directive. As soon as somebody brought that up, Brian Seppi, somebody came in here and explained the Prime Directive.
It was Brian Seppi.
Yeah. And it suddenly like made sense because I was thinking of it as a black or white thing, but it's not. It's kind of like amendments to the Constitution where there's like...
Then it should be called the Prime Suggestion.
Fair.
So back on the Enterprise, they're trying to find some kind of trace of Pulaski, but this is where we find out that like Pulaski tended to prefer shuttles because she was afraid of the transporter. So
that's where it comes into play.
They got to hunt around for some kind of cell or DNA or like molecule that she had left by.
And they go through her underwear drawer.
Yeah, they go through her underwear drawer. They find like a hairbrush, and this is so they're able to.
I was hoping they would take her dirty underwear.
That would be gross as hell. But no, they get it. They get a follicle.
That still makes me laugh.
They get
a
follicle of her hair from her brush, and they're able to, like, you know.
Of course. And I love how long it took them to think to grab the brush.
To go for the hairbrush.
It's like, duh.
Of course.
Before they even left the room to go to her quarters, I'm saying, just get hair, you know.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Why are you in her underwear drawer?
Plus, that
underwear would all be clean.
Yeah. It's the future.
Yeah.
All clothes are clean.
Yeah. They must replicate new outfits.
They've got
every
day. Sonic showers and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Everything is spotless. So,
yeah.
One of the other things that we find is that Picard is talking to this other captain, Captain Taggart, about Pulaski, and
he does not like Pulaski.
He doesn't at all.
He's right.
He's even when he knows that she is like contracting this horrible illness, and she's like aging rapidly, and everyone on the Darwin is aging rapidly. They all look like Muppets. The makeup is really
bad. Makeup's awful.
While this is going on, Picard is just like, what's her deal? I'm going to talk to this other guy, like, talk shit behind her back. Taggart is like, no, man, she really likes you. She actually specifically requested to be transferred to the Enterprise because of how greatly she admired you. And he's starting to like kind of feel like a jerk.
He's like, by the sea.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I wish he hadn't said that.
Right.
Because I hate her.
And now I feel bad.
Yeah.
So by this point, everyone in the Darwin has realized what's going on, and they're kind of starting to lose hope. Pulaski, though, is pretty much just accepted the fate and is like, look, I got to do everything I can to stop this from spreading. That's job number one. And so she explains the situation to everyone on the Enterprise. This is where she starts to look kind of like a Muppet. It's really
that makeup is horrible.
In HD, yeah. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
But in fairness, Data looks terrible in HD.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think this was ever meant to be seen in this format.
No.
Like, broadcast on a wall.
They could not have thought, yeah, it'd be on a big projector in a podcast studio somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that's probably not even the brightest screen we could have seen it on.
Right,
you
right.
still see all the like, flaws in the right. makeup. It's,
yeah.
It's not good.
But, so one of the suggestions that they have to her is like, well, you know, we can beam you over and put you in suspended animation immediately, and that would prevent this illness from being transferred, and you would stop aging. I mean, you wouldn't be conscious, but we could try to figure out something. She's like, no.
It would buy you time.
It would buy time. He's like,
she interrupts him
it.
And says no.
Well, she was right, though.
But she keeps interrupting him. She didn't
know,
stop interrupting
right.
her captain.
Hey, she doesn't have a lot of time by this point. She's like 1,000 years old.
There's no character. Anyway, I don't like her.
Yeah,
I've decided
a wet
that.
Blanket.
I've decided that in this episode.
But
don't
she,
like her.
So she knows she's about to die, and she just kind of resigns herself to trying to figure out how to cure this illness while living out the rest of her short life on the Darwin. So Data, you know, says goodbye. He goes back to the Enterprise. And I like this exchange because Picard comes up to him and immediately starts asking him about this. But then he interrupts himself, says, Data, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Nice. That was nice. I really like that.
Because Picard is a human being.
Right.
I appreciated that
moment.
Yeah.
And then Data's like, thanks. All right. So let's try to figure out this.
Then he gets right back to business.
They get right back to business. But they have that nice little like human interaction.
Yeah.
So back on the Darwin, both Dr. Kingsley and Pulaski is like starting to look worse and worse.
And by that we mean the makeup gets
the makeup
worse and worse.
Looks more Muppet-like and more Muppet-like.
What is it, Mortimer and something?
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, Statler and Mortimer.
The angry dudes in the wings and in the
Muppet
Show.
Yeah. It's like that, but more Muppety.
Right.
Yeah.
But by this point, they've like found their hairbrush. They found the hair follicle.
Right.
They're able to do.
They smell their underwear.
God.
It was such a weird scene.
Keep bringing
you got
up.
Riker going through an underwear drawer. I mean, come on.
He's a weird dude.
I was hoping he was going to find something really embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's Star Trek, though. They're bred to the point where they don't find those things embarrassing.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're 23rd century humans.
Yeah. Very open minded.
All they find is a follicle of hair. And they are able to effectively clone Pulaski back to normal.
They bring her back, and as she's transporting, she goes from Muppet to
normal human.
Normal Muppet-looking human.
So stupid. And the dramatic tension they try to build during that transporter scene is painful.
It's the same dramatic tension they have with every transporter scene, though, where it's like, it's not going to work. Oh, it's working. They're fading out. Oh, wait, there they are. They're fading again? Oh, I gotcha. No, they're normal.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all it.
Yeah. That's it in a nutshell.
It's true.
Yeah. And, you know, they examine Pulaski, and there's actually a nice moment between Pulaski and Picard where they're like,
it seems so forced, though.
It is.
Seems
well, so it forced. Is forced because they don't like each other.
Yeah. And then they're like hugging and shit. And I'm
but
like,
they don't,
what
they
happened?
Still don't like each other. I think they're just trying to build a mutual respect, but they still don't like each
but
other.
But she supposedly is a big admirer of him, but it, I guess the reality...
You never see that, yeah.
She doesn't show it well.
I'm going to watch the rest of the season just to see how their relationship plays out.
Horribly, and then she goes away forever.
Good.
Yeah. But what's interesting, though, is at the end of the episode, Pulaski gives the log.
Oh, that's true.
So she's, like, just talking about what happened, and she's like, you know, everyone on Darwin Station, they're back to normal, using the same transporter cure, which I don't know why we didn't think about that before.
He just cured cancer.
He basically cured every
He's
illness.
He's a hero of the universe.
I know.
I love you, Chief O'Brien!
But then at the end, they go back to the Lantry, remember, which was quarantined, and it's beaming out this constant message. It's like, get the hell away.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to die if you get on this ship.
This is a quarantine vessel.
Yeah, and they all stand up. and they blow it up with a photon torpedo because that's pretty much the only way to solve it.
Burial at sea.
Yeah, it's basically burial at sea. Yeah. And that's the episode.
And they fly away to that starbase they mentioned
Star
at the
Station
beginning.
India. Yeah, yeah, whatever the hell they were going to do there.
Engage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best part of the episode for me.
The end.
When they blow up the ship. Yes, the end.
That's the actual action right there. Yeah.
All right, Matt. This is the part of Patrick where we like to rate the episode we just watched. If we thought it was amazing, great Star Trek, must viewing, we set it to kill. If it was okay, if it comes up in the queue, you should watch it. We set it to stun. And if we thought it was stupid, boring, lame, skip it, don't watch it. We leave it in the holster. Patrick, what did you think of this episode?
Oh, man. You know, this is, I know I made a big point of saying we should only have three hard and fast rulings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no high or low set to kill.
No, it's set to kill.
If you want to kill something, you kill it.
Right.
If you don't want to pull your phaser out, don't do it. But right. I kind of, this is like low set to stun, if that exists. I don't know. It's set to stun.
You're breaking your own rule.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. It's whatever. It's set to stun. There's okay. A couple parts that are good. Miles O'Brien basically cures every illness known to man.
I love Miles O'Brien.
That is cool.
Yeah.
They tried to flesh out the Pulaski character. It didn't really work. But other than that, there's just like a lot of loose ends.
Yeah.
Like the genetic engineering thing. That's a big problem to drop. You know, even I know that you're not supposed to do that in Star Trek, and I know nothing about Star Trek.
Yeah.
And they just never addressed it. But, you know, that said, there's like, I like that they at least attempted to flesh out this very important relationship that they have not tried to flesh out yet.
Yeah.
So cool. I'd say set to sun, but, you know, if you really want to skip it, you can skip it.
Gotcha. Matt, what about you?
Leave this one in the holster. It's a boring, inconsequential episode. Yes, I agree. Pat, they did try to flesh out this relationship, and I think they failed. They broke a bunch of
yeah.
They broke a bunch of their own rules. So continuity wise, it's just got so many problems. I agree. I really like the accomplishment that Chief O'Brien makes in this episode, but I don't think it's ever really like an accomplishment that gets addressed again in a future episode. So this one's garbage. Just forget it even exists.
Yeah, Patrick, as you know, I'm a man of extremes. I either set it to kill or I leave it in the holster. And this one, I'm leaving in the holster. I am so frustrated by this episode that I think as an avid Star Trek fan, I find this episode extremely frustrating because they ignore their own rules. They flesh out a character who doesn't matter and I don't like very much, who goes away very quickly. So it's a lot of time focused on an unexciting plot about a character I don't care about that doesn't fit in the bigger universe. So, like, why? Why watch this? Why even make this fucking episode? It's horrible. It's a bad episode. It's worse than The Child, in my opinion.
It's not worse than The Child.
Oh, it's
nothing
worse.
Sexy in this episode.
There's nothing fun about this episode. I love Star Trek because I love fun sci-fi. That's one of the things I love about it. And they do a really good job of
avoiding fun
in this episode. And a lot of times I have these, like, you know, really big political statements and stuff that they do in Star Trek, which I like that as well. But that episode is, those are the ones you can really hang your hat on and say, like, Star Trek stands for something. And then there's a lot of episodes where Star Trek, it's just entertaining television.
Sure.
Which I love that. Like, that's what I think makes me such a big fan, is I love both sides of that. But when they don't accomplish either, they're not even attempting, like, a true political statement.
Oh, and they had two opportunities to have,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
But they're not doing either of the things that Star Trek does well in this episode at all.
No.
So it's stupid, and I don't recommend watching it to anybody. So we leave this one in the holster.
All right, I guess I'm outvoted. I can't blame you, though.
Yeah, you were almost there, too.
I was almost there.
You think that this one's better than The Child? You had mentioned that.
Yeah. The Child's awful. That's a terrible episode.
Now I want to watch it just to see what could possibly be.
No, it's just a ham-fisted Christ allegory. That's never good.
No, I agree, but at least it's not about Pulaski.
I like what they tried to do. I don't think that they succeeded.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
They were trying to make her into Bones, right? To make her the captain's foil.
Right.
And it just doesn't
work. But
you
can't have a foil that's exactly the same as you.
She but also, just kind like, of they, shittier. They say that she's exactly the same. She's nothing like Picard. Nothing. Yeah.
Come back, Beverly Crusher. Come back.
Yeah, please, Gage McFadden.
We miss you. All right, Matt. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Other than Star Trek?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Check out the Cinema Jaw podcast. It's at cinemajaw.com. And I'm at Matt Kabinski on Twitter and all that good stuff. And cool. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I've been a guest twice on that show.
Yeah, dude, you got to come back.
Yeah.
Let's make it a threefer.
Yeah. I like three-peats. I'm a Bulls fan.
Let's get you on.
Cool. Patrick?
Yeah, keep listening to Patrick. Rate us on iTunes and listen to Politics Off. That's the politics show that I have with Zach Mast. It's also a Peaches and Hot Sauce thing. Subscribe to the Peaches and Hot Sauce YouTube channel. We got some new videos coming out.
Yeah.
Especially in the coming month. I think we got a lot of good stuff in the hopper. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every once in a while, we turn on the live stream.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of Patrick being recorded. And we have a couple people jump in and have a conversation.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, speaking of reviews, I'm going to read one that we just got that I really like. All right, so here's the review. Trek with the Pets. You get more than just the laughs from watching someone learn how to Star Trek. You get a really neat consensus emerging on what episodes to watch and skip. And lots more behind the Trek information. Who knew that the Season 1, Season 2 stink fest was caused mainly by the Writers Guild strike? Or how much of the end of the Cold War hung heavy over the beginning of TNG? You do, because you listen to Pat Trek!
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was a really nice 5-star review from Mooferry.
Awesome.
So if you want me to read your review at the end of Pat Trek, maybe you could leave one. That would be great. Follow me on Twitter at PatLikesToTweet, because Facebook is for noobs. Listen to Making New Friends, and check out Dungeon Rats. It's a new live show that we've been doing. Patrick's on it. He's going to be on it for the next month or so.
Yeah.
It's an interactive dungeon crawl where you, the chat, gets to decide what happens to the players. It was really fun. We did the first one last week, a couple weeks ago, and we're going to keep it going.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's super fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. 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 Peaches. Hot sauce.